Good morning, everybody. My name is Ethan. I am from New York. I work at a municipal hospital there called Metropolitan Hospital Center. I got my Bachelor of Arts in Human Biology from Brown University, and I am about to finish my Master in Public Health from Columbia at the end of this year. So thank you for letting me present. I'm going to present about really a few years of work at Metropolitan Hospital Center that we've done in and around patient-centered medical home and specifically adult primary care teams. I want to take a moment to acknowledge my co-author, Marcy Rubin. She was very influential in the work I'm going to speak about. She was also very influential in writing up this, writing up the abstract and making the presentation, but she couldn't make it this year, so I am going to present for her. I have no financial relationships to close. So I'm going to start off by talking about care teams in general and about the philosophy that drives them. I'm going to talk about some of the recent national reform efforts in and around PCMH, Health Home, Accountable Care Organizations, Collaborative Care Models, and a few other ones that incorporate care teams into them. I'm going to talk about our experience at Metropolitan Hospital Center with care teams. I'm going to talk about some of our early and ongoing successes, some of the challenges we've had, and finally recommendations for other practices. So in general, care teams can exist for a variety of reasons. I think sometimes we think of a care team that exists when a patient experiences a specific episode. You know, if a patient breaks their arm or needs a hip replacement, there's going to be a care team that sort of pops up just to address that episode. In primary care, we see care teams, and extending from that, we have this idea of whole person care where all the different members, all the different providers that a patient sees become one entity that takes care of all their different needs. One way to think of care teams is that they maximize the quantity and the quality of work done by clinicians, and they can really exist at any level. We often think of care teams in emergency rooms and inpatient units. We're seeing care teams in rehab medicine, in surgical suites. Care teams naturally emerge because of the different specialties needed. And I'm going to spend most of the time today talking about care teams in a clinical setting. So there's really no one way to define what a care team is. I think we often say that, you know, in order to have a care team, you need to have at least one doctor, you need to have at least one nurse, at least one clerical. And this gets into this sort of one of each philosophy. The problem is you'll see, you know, the services are not, or I should say staff are not distributed so evenly, so you can't always have that. I'm going to talk a little bit more about the different ways to divide up a care team a little later. But beyond the makeup of a care team, there's certain core elements that a care team sort of has to have to even be meaningful, which is an ongoing and structured communication process, a division of tasks and roles and responsibilities, and finally accountability within the care team, but also among different care teams for an entire practice. So what are some of the reasons that we use care teams? You take, you know, responsibilities of individuals and you share them among a few different people to make things run a little more efficiently. When one person is bogged down with their work, another person can pick up the slack. A lot of the new payment models are focused around delivering care not based on each service rendered, but rather on the entire course of care. So this gets into more, you know, you have all these different moving parts in a primary care practice, and you know, a care team sort of integrates them as opposed to thinking of each person as, you know, billing for their own services. Everybody's kind of coming together and you're billing for primary care in general. And finally, you know, the problems facing primary care practices these days are getting harder and harder. We're dealing with a lot more chronic illness that requires behavior change. Traditional treating methodologies aren't working as well. And I think we need the more minds from all different levels of an organization coming together to come up with better solutions. So here are some of the specific reform efforts and how they relate to care teams. Accountable core organizations are defined by these interdisciplinary teams working together to, when a patient has an episode of care, a care team forms around that and sticks together for the entire course of treatment. In a patient-centered medical home, much of the focus is on primary care teams and this idea of whole person care. Health homes, I'm not sure how widespread these are, how familiar everybody is with these, but in New York, the Medicaid office is encouraging practices to combine primary care and intensive case management programs. At our hospital, it's the COBRA program, which is intensive case management services for HIV-positive individuals. Now we're trying to integrate that with our primary care teams and look at not just patients who are HIV-positive, but patients who are high utilizers. And finally, in a collaborative care model, which could really be taken to mean any collaboration, but when I refer to that, I'm talking about integration of primary care and behavioral health services. Let me tell you a little bit about Metropolitan Hospital Center. We are an acute care facility located in East Harlem, which is in northern Manhattan. We are part of the New York City Health and Hospitals Corporation, which is the municipal hospital system in New York City. Our population is primarily low income, either individuals with public insurance like Medicare and Medicaid, or no insurance, and many of them are undocumented immigrants. Metropolitan is also a teaching hospital, and it's affiliated with New York Medical College. Now a little bit about the adult primary care practice within Metropolitan Hospital Center. It's composed of 12 attending physicians, 56 residents. There are two nurse practitioners, 12 registered nurses, 16 patient care associates, which I think are more commonly known as medical assistants, and finally there are 6 clerical associates. Our population is composed of about 20,000 active patients, active meaning patients who we've seen in the last 18 months. There's a high prevalence of chronic illnesses like diabetes, hypertension, and obesity. In 2010, we were recognized as a patient-centered medical home, and actually since we put this together, we were re-recognized. So our status as patient-centered medical home was renewed for the next 3 years. At that time, efforts were begun to align resident MDs with an assigned preceptor and a specific work location for their 3 years. So just to give you a little bit of a frame of reference, prior to this, every day residents would come in and they would say, where am I going to work today? Who's going to be preceptor? Who's going to be my attending physician who I'm reporting out to? So it was really sort of unorganized. Sometimes you would have preceptors who had no residents. Sometimes you would have residents with no preceptors. So what they did was they made a permanent assignment. So every resident who comes on as a first year is assigned an attending MD who's they're going to follow throughout their 3 years. And they know, they have a permanent schedule. They're always in the same place. They're always with the same people. And this was really the first step on our path to full clinical care teams. It started with the physicians. So the next step was to align nursing and support staff with each of these resident attending teams. We often have spirited debates about how many teams we actually have. For a while, we were saying we had 16, which was a nice number. That's because we had 16 teams of residents, and there are 3 to 4 per team, which is how we came up with the 50. The 56 divided among 16 different teams. This was a little misleading, though. There was one attending who had no residents. There were other services co-located within the adult primary care practice. And what happened is we said 16, 16, 16. And then as we were thinking about, how do we align our nursing and administrative staff with all of this, we sort of ended up with a misalignment because we weren't thinking about all the different non-resident teams. So recently we adopted a color-coded system. We have 12 attending physicians, so we have 12 colors. I think this has worked a lot better for us, rather than trying to think of it in terms of the 16 teams, each of different, you know, some of the attending physicians had two different resident teams. So it got really kind of confusing, but now we're sticking with the colors. So I wanted to show you this because I think the move towards a color-coded scheme was a really good choice for a number of reasons. It's very aesthetically pleasing, I think. It's very easy to find out. You know you're on the green team, you know where you're going to be. And then I just want to show you a report, too. So it's like, you know, when you distribute reports that are all black and white with, you know, names of physicians going down a long list, I think people kind of get sort of overwhelmed and they don't even really read it. But something like this, I think sends, it illustrates the data in a much better way, I think. So some of the successes we've had, care teams create a sense of ownership. We often hear people saying, like, that's my patient, you know, it's like, I'm going to take care of him or her. There's accountability, you know, we need to work hard and we need to get better to catch up with this other team. It helps staff and families know a little better how to communicate. You know, I think it's easier to remember a color as opposed to the name of a doctor, especially if they're from a foreign country. And it makes it easier for staff to communicate with each other and teams to communicate among each other. And then we have all this, you know, there's all these new initiatives coming at us. And when you have a team, it's a little easier to handle all of that. You know, you can take the highest performing team and have them pilot something. And then also, as I showed you before, we have these sort of maps, which are really visual, and it's easy to know, you know, where you're working, who you're going to be with. And I put, where should I save this file? Because we use a lot of network shared drives, and it just kind of helps, like, the, you know, each care team has their own folder where they share, where they store everything. Here's some of the data that we've collected over the past few years. Continuity of care is the percent of visits with the assigned PCP or care team. It was 40% 2 years ago, and currently it's closer to 70%. The next few are really about, you know, like all the different work that a primary care team has to do. It's just a little easier to manage when you have a team doing it as opposed to one person. You know, so we used to, you know, do reminder calls for half of our patients. Now we do it for 100% of them. We used to do no-show follow-up for, I think, less than 30%. Now we, anybody who doesn't show up, they get a follow-up call and sometimes a letter. And then because of PCMH standards being revised in 2011, there's two new things that are being done which weren't done before. One is pre-visit planning, which speaks for itself. But basically it's that, you know, before patients, when you take a list of scheduled patients and you check to make sure they had their blood work done, they went to get their radiology tests done, you make sure they went to any referred specialties. And finally, you know, giving patients a paper care plan, which is a specific requirement of PCMH. You know, we used to not do this at all, and now you have a hard copy of something which is shared among the team and then given to the patient at the end of the visit. This is what the care plan looks like. I have a soft spot for colors, I guess, and things that are kind of pleasing to the eye. So I think this is a nice addition to the practice. Okay, so that was all the good news. Naturally, there's been some challenges. You know, when I said we have people saying that's my patient, you have the other hand, you know, that's not my patient. I'm not going to see that patient because they're not assigned to me. You know, the accountability has been good, but I think we've probably all heard this before. You know, my patients are just sicker than everybody else's, so, you know, I couldn't possibly ever be as good as that other team. How could you hold me to that standard? There are other issues which a care team, you can do all this work around a care team and you still might have a capacity problem. You might have antiquated electronic systems. You might have problems with labor relations, asking people to do things that aren't specifically in their job descriptions. Frontline staff always, still, and forever will feel overwhelmed with the amount of work they're being asked to do, especially in a city hospital. you know, so I think that the care teams sort of help to ease some of this stress, but it doesn't get rid of it. And finally, some of these metrics are really hard to move just because you're talking about changing patients' behavior. It's hard to get patients to show up to appointments. It's hard to get them to follow their treatment plan. And it's hard to get patient satisfaction to get up. And I think my time is up, but I'll just run through this really quickly. Care teams are a really valuable tool. It gets people to work together. Everybody shares a goal. When there's successes, people feel like they're part of a team, part of a group, as opposed to like an individual success. You know, there's less jealousy and things that go along with that. The national reform efforts have caught on to this, and so most models will now have a care team as a requirement. You need to adopt a model that works for the practice. There's no one model. You need to make sure these are dynamic. You need to make sure people don't fall into a trap of saying 16 teams, 16 teams, 16 teams, when in fact the reality is a little more complex. So encourage people to be flexible. Keep in mind that in an ideal world, each nurse would be assigned to one team, but in reality, you might have a nurse who's sort of split between several different teams. Try to work from the bottom up, get people to buy into this, get them to come up with solutions as opposed to the top-down model. Care teams promote a healthy sense of competition. It improves communication. And whenever possible, try to dispel those statements like my patients are sicker by using data to really understand the patient population and to understand how different levels of patient acuity are spread among the different care teams. And that's it. Thank you.